Well, good morning, everyone. Would you stand with us today and let's worship our King, our only King forever. Our God is firm foundation, our all the only solid ground. The nations rise and fall. Kingdoms not strong, now shaken. We trust forever in your name, the name of Jesus. Oh, we trust the name of Jesus. You are the only King forever. Almighty God, we lift you higher. You are the only King forever, forevermore. You are victorious. You are the only King forever. Almighty God, we lift you higher. You are the only King forever, forevermore. You are victorious. Unmatched in all your wisdom, in love and justice you will reign. Every knee will bow. We bring our expectations. Our hope is anchored in your name, the name of Jesus. Oh, we trust the name of Jesus. You are the only King forever. Almighty God, we lift you higher. You are the only King forever, forevermore. You are victorious. You are the only King forever. Almighty God, we lift you higher. You are the only King forever, forevermore. You are victorious. Our banner high, we lift the name of Jesus. From age to age you reign, your kingdom has no end. We lift our banner high, we lift the name of Jesus. From age to age you reign, your kingdom has no end. You are the only King forever. Almighty God, we lift you higher. You are the only King forever, forevermore. You are victorious.
You are the only King forever.
Almighty God, we lift you higher.
You are
the only King forever, forevermore. You are victorious.
Praise your name. We praise your name, Lord Jesus. Oh, the only King. Praise your Lord Jesus. Praise your name. Oh, we lift your name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
For this day, we've gathered in your name, and we're calling out to you. Your glory like a fire, awakening desire, will burn our hearts with truth. You're the reason we're here. You're the reason we're singing. Open up the heavens. We want to see you open up the floodgates. A mighty river flowing from your heart, filling every part of our praise.
We in this place,
your glory on our face, we're looking to the sky. Descending like a cloud, you're standing with us now, Lord, unveil our eyes. You're the reason we're here, you're the reason we're singing. So open up the heavens, we want to see you. Open up the floodgates, a mighty river flowing from your heart, filling every part of our praise. Open up the heavens, we want to see you. Open up the floodgates, a mighty river flowing from your heart, filling every part of our praise.
Show us your glory. Show us your power. Show us your glory, Lord. Show us your glory. Show us your power. Show us your glory, Lord. Open up the heavens, we want to see you. Open up the floodgates, a mighty river flowing from your heart, filling every part of our praise. Open up the heavens, we want to see you. Open up the floodgates, a mighty river flowing from your heart, filling every part of our praise.
Show us your glory, Lord.
Show us your glory. Show us your power. Show us your glory, Lord. Show us your glory. Show us your power. Show us your glory, Lord.
Open up the heavens, we want to see you. Open up the floodgates, a mighty river flowing from your heart, filling every part of our praise. Open up the heavens, we want to see you. Open up the floodgates, a mighty river flowing from your heart, filling every part of our praise.
Lift up your name,
Lord.
Oh, our God,
oh, Jesus, oh, Lord, oh, God.
Father, it's our heart's desire to see you open the heavens in our region. Open up the heavens, Lord, that we would see your power and your might, Lord. Come, Lord Jesus. Open up. Give us an open heaven, Father, we pray. Oh, God, our hearts cry out for it, Lord, that you would do it. Oh, that people would come to see their need for Jesus. Thank you, Father. Oh, God, open up, Lord. Open up the heavens. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord.
Hallowed be your name. Hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Hallowed be your name. Hallowed be your name. Hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Hallowed be your name. Let your will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Let your kingdom come in all the earth. Let your will be done as we lift up the name of Jesus. Let your presence come in all the earth.
Hallowed be.
Hallowed be your name. Hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Hallowed be your name. Hallowed be your name. Hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come and your will be done. Hallowed be your name. Your will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Let your kingdom come in all the earth. Let your will be done as we lift up the name of Jesus. Let your presence come in all the earth.
Let your kingdom
come to me. Let your kingdom come to me. Let me heal with your hands. Let me speak from your heart. Let your kingdom come to me. Let your kingdom come to me. Let your kingdom come to me. Let me heal with your hands. Let me speak from your heart. Let your kingdom come to me.
Let your will be done.
And let your will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Let your will be done in all the earth. Let your will be done as we lift up the name of Jesus. Let your presence come in all the earth.
Hallowed be.
Hallowed be your name. Hallowed be your name. Let your kingdom come, your will be done. Hallowed be your name.
Says if we you be lifted up from the earth, you'll draw all men. Lord, we lift up your name. Oh God, Jesus, we lift up your name. Thank you, Lord. It was my cross you bore, so I could live in the freedom you died for. And now my life is yours, and I will sing of your goodness forevermore. Worthy is your name, Jesus. You deserve the praise. Worthy is your name. Worthy is your name, Jesus. You deserve the praise. Worthy is your name. My shame is gone. I stand amazed in your love undeniable. Your grace goes on, and I will sing of your goodness forevermore. Worthy is your name, Jesus. You deserve the praise. Worthy is your name. Worthy is your name, Jesus. You deserve the praise. Worthy is your name. Worthy is your name, Jesus. You deserve the praise. Worthy is your name. Worthy is your name, Jesus. You deserve the praise. Worthy is your name. Be exalted now in the heavens, as your glory fills this place. You alone deserve our praise. You're the name above all names. Be exalted now in the heavens, as your glory fills this place. You alone deserve our praise. You're the name above all names. Be exalted now in the heavens as your glory fills this place. You alone deserve our praise. You're the name above all names. Oh, name above all names, Lord Jesus. Worthy is your name, Jesus. You deserve the praise. Worthy is your name. Worthy is your name, Jesus. You deserve the praise. Worthy is your name. Worthy is your name, Jesus. You deserve the praise. Worthy is your name. Be exalted now in the heavens as your glory fills this place. You alone deserve our praise. You're the name above all names. Be exalted now in the heavens as your glory fills this place. You alone deserve our praise. You're the name above all names. Worthy is your name, Jesus. You deserve the praise. Worthy is your name. Is your name, Jesus. You deserve the praise. Worthy is your name. Worthy is your name, Jesus. You deserve the praise. Worthy is your name. Worthy is your name. Deserve the praise. Worthy is your name. Oh, you're worthy of our praise, Lord. Oh, let your glory fill this place. Oh, Jesus. Oh, your glory come. Oh, we praise your name. Thank you, Lord. Oh, Jesus. We long to see your glory, Father. Oh, we want to see your face, Lord. We want it to fill this place. You are worthy. We proclaim it today, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. You may be seated. Praise your name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Is he worthy of our praise? He is worthy. He is worthy. He is worthy. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. I have some prayer needs today I want us to lift up. I want to be sure we have the opportunity to pray today for our sister Luann. Lots of you have asked about her. On Wednesday, Luann had a stroke. She went to the hospital and all of her stroke symptoms seemed to disappear when she got there, but her blood pressure was just sky high. So they continued to work with her and her blood pressure came down. But she went home Thursday, seemed to be doing well, but then last night
she had another episode, and called the ambulance, took her to the hospital, and again her blood pressure was up, and but her symptoms, the numbness in her right side, again vanished. But they were concerned because her medication seemed to be all correct. Everything seemed to be right, but she was still having issues, so they sent her to Rochester. So she's up at Strong Memorial today. And I want to lift her up and pray and believe God to touch our sister. She's had a long battle, long road, not just with this, but on several fronts. So I want to pray and believe God for breakthrough in her life. I'd like to remember our brother Tom Brazell. He and Judy are off on their U.S. missions trip, and it's been very, very fruitful. They've had some very wonderful times with people. Every report that he's given me has been good. He did, however, mention that he's developed a cough. And it's just gone down to his chest. He's coughing, and he says it's just taken his energy. So I want to pray and believe God to touch his body and heal him today. Father, we lift up both our sister and our brother to you, God. They're precious, precious people, Lord. We pray for Luann. And God, we thank you for her sacrificial giving, Lord, that she does here, Father, with working behind the scenes, but so appreciated. And Father, we pray that you would help her in this hour. Lord, that you would dissolve the clots in her body. Father, that you would deliver her from the cause of these strokes. Lord, that you would restore her health, Father. Lord, I pray that while she's at the hospital, the doctor's hands would be your hands, that everything would be done correctly. And Lord, we pray for that anointing of the Holy Spirit to come and touch our sister and deliver her. We pray you deliver her from strokes. We pray you would deliver her from that painful fibromyalgia and that inflammation in her body. God, in Jesus' name, move and help her. Lord, we lift up our brother and sister, Tom and Judy Brazell. We thank you for their trip. Lord, we thank you that soon they'll be back with us again, but I pray for this last leg of their journey, God, that you would give them the strength and the grace to finish, that you would touch Tom, that you would touch that cough, Lord, that you would deliver him from congestion and infection, Father, in those lungs, in the name of Jesus, and that you would restore strength to his body. Restore strength. Father, let it flow into him today. Even as we're praying, God, I pray that he would feel strengthened and that you would continue to use he and Judy, Father, as they minister to people all up the middle of this country, Lord. Thank you for them. Let your blessing rest on them in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Do we have any testimonies today? Anything that God's been, what has God been up to? He's always up to something. He's always up to something. Carl. Ooh, we got turned off, but we'll turn it back on. Okay.
Good morning, everybody. I just wanted to thank everybody for the prayers for my father. He fell in his bathroom. We thought he had a stroke, but he had a heart attack. And it was a week before his 94th birthday. And went down last Saturday to visit with him, and I left Sunday. He was getting stronger. Monday I got a call from my brother and said that he was going to rehab the following day. So he's doing a lot better, and I appreciate all the prayers. Thank you.
If you ever doubt that prayer changes things, you know, it's an unseen force, and we don't see the hand of God, but we see it. But we know it's there. When we pray, things happen. Things happen in the heavenlies. Do not ever doubt for a second that your prayers are not powerful and effective. They are powerful and effective. And the people, I just want to encourage you today, the people that you're praying for, especially in your families, we have a lot of prodigals represented in the church here, and a lot of kids who've gone through this church and have gone on and have walked away from their faith. Don't give up on them. Don't give up on them. Continue to pray and believe God to move and to speak to their hearts. Do you know what kind of revival we would have in this country if just the prodigals came back? The churches would be filled to overflowing if just the prodigals who had that seed of the Word of God planted in them returned. But is God able to breathe on that seed? Just like He breathed on the valley of dry bones, and those bones came to life and stood up, God is able to do it. I just want to encourage you with that today. Don't doubt that the prayers that you pray, they have a mighty effect. Persevere. Persevere. I left my notes over here and I'm already starting to preach. Well, I know you're in for a treat today. If you weren't planning to stay, if you didn't know that we're having soup today, we're having soup today. And there's lots of soup. And the reason we're doing it is for that wonderful, precious ministry of Operation Christmas Child. If you weren't here last week, we showed again the videos about that. And our church just this year has sent 103 or 5, over 100 boxes. And they went to Southern Africa. They went to an island off of Madagascar. And who knows what effect those boxes will have in the lives of children that are going to hear the gospel, maybe for the first time. Our church itself, all the hundreds and hundreds of churches that do this, and our little church has sent over the term that we've done this probably over 1,000 boxes, well over that. So it's a wonderful cause, and so I encourage you to be generous. Our sister Kathy's done a wonderful job every year with setting that up, and this is a great time to raise funds for that. You know, they say it's really smart to start your Christmas shopping early. It really is. She's already out shopping now. You know, she runs out right after Christmas and gets all the bargains for next year's Christmas Child. So it's a wonderful thing. So we're looking forward to some good fellowship today. Adam, you can start me up there. Today I want to talk out of James 4:8. And the King James, it says, draw near to God. And in this version it says, come near to God and He will come near to you. And there it is again, James 4:8. Draw near to God and He will. Now I want to emphasize the word He will. What does that mean? That means He's giving us a promise. James 4:8 is a promise. Draw near to God and He will draw near to you. Now we're going to talk quite a bit about this, but notice the order. Who draws near first? It's us. It's up to us. He says, draw near to Me and I will meet you. But there's a thing in God's heart where He wants us to reach out to Him. He wants us to make a step in His direction. And He says, I will meet you. Now, I know there's lots of times where God intervenes and we haven't gone in His direction. But in this, it's saying, draw near to God. Draw near to Me. And He will draw near to you because it's His desire for us to be near Him. And you know, if we don't, He will, as Christians, He will allow you to be in circumstances and places where you get under pressure and you kind of have to draw near to Him. Help! Have you been in a place where you've just said, God, help me? One of my favorite prayers, especially when I'm... like, God, help! I don't know what to do. I have prayed that prayer so many times. But you know, He's faithful. And He helps me. He is absolutely faithful. But He will let us into those circumstances because He wants us to be dependent on Him. He wants us to draw near to Him. Jeremiah 29:13. Lots of us know Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. But now if you look at verse 13, you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. This is a little more specific now. This is talking about searching. When you search for something, that means you're out looking for it. There's something active in that. But notice it says, all your heart, with all your heart. So God is looking for us to have an on-fire desire to search for Him, to look for Him with all. And it says, you will seek me and find me. You will find me. There's another promise. Now this time it's with a condition. You'll seek me and you'll find with me when you search for me, but with all your heart. God's looking for an undivided heart. He's looking for that heart that says, God, I want you. I want you more than I want my house, my car, my family, my job, my money, my TV, my... He wants more than any of that stuff. I want you. Boy, I was so challenged. I shared with you last week how the Lord convicted me. It's time to say goodbye to social media. And I knew it was God, and I knew it was just absorbing my time. But as I thought about this, draw near to God, and He will draw near to you, I ended up with two questions in my heart. My first question was, how much do I really want God? How much do I really want Him? Does God know I really want Him? How am I walking that I am demonstrating, God, I really want you? Jesus said, blessed are those that hunger and thirst after righteousness. Those are two of our basic survival needs. How much do I really want God? And then I had to take inventory in my own heart and say, am I a fair weather friend? You know what a fair weather friend is? That's the somebody you have around when everything's going great, and then when things are going bad, they're like, see ya. Or you can also have an unfair weather friend. That's the time where the only time they come around is when they're in trouble and they need something. Hey, can you help me out? But you know, sometimes I find myself as a friend of God in that way. Sometimes I'm a fair weather friend. Or an unfair weather friend. And I'm coming, I get pressed into God when I have a real need, when I really, God. But then I tend to not do that in the good times. We've got Romans 12:11. And I love this verse. It says, Do not let your zeal subside. Keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. And that word zeal is a really interesting word in the Greek, and I wrote it out in a kind of transliteration. It doesn't look like that in the Greek, but it's spoude. And that zeal literally has diligence. It means to be very diligent, but there's an element of haste in it. Be diligent. Be diligent. But do it now. Keep coming, but come in haste. Don't let your diligent haste subside. Keep your spiritual fervors serving the Lord. The King James actually says, don't be slothful in business. That's because there is that idea of diligence, persistence in it. I think that the old King James got it a little bit wrong there, because the original Greek really talks about hasteful, obedient diligence, where we keep going on. Revelation chapter 3, verses 14 through 17 talks a little bit about this again, and it uses an interesting word. We're going to center in on the word hot in just a minute. To the angel of the church in Laodicea write, these are the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the originator of God's creation. I know your deeds. You are neither cold nor hot. How I wish you were one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot or cold, I am about to vomit you out of my mouth. You say, I am rich. I have grown wealthy and need nothing, but you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. Ouch. That's a real rebuke for a church that says, well, I'm rich, I'm grown wealthy, I don't need anything. You know what happens when we become self-dependent? We become spiritually impoverished. Because the only life that we really have, the only real life we have, is in the Spirit. Wow. So it's that word hot there. I want to go back. He says, I know your deeds. You are neither cold or hot. I wish that you were hot or cold. That word hot is the Greek word zestos. It's a really neat word. It means literally boiling hot. Just like water on the stove, boiling. There's almost, I just imagine a volcanic kind of fervor. You know, I want you to be hot for me. Boiling, on fire. With a seeking of me. And then it talks about that awful lukewarmness where everything is just kind of cooled down. And it's related here to self-satisfaction when we're just become satisfied with the way things are. Everything is okay. Everything is all right. No! No, everything is not all right. And, you know, in this day and age, if you look at our country and you look at our world, dear God, we need to be desperate for God in this hour. There is such a desperation to seek God's face and to believe God for change and to bring revival in our land. It seems like our government and our land and our policies and our economy and our borders and things are just going crazy. This is the hour that we need to be desperate for God. Desperate for Him. We cannot afford the Laodicean lukewarmness where we feel like, well, everything is, it's okay. We're okay. Oh, God wants us to be boiling hot. That word zestos is very closely related to John 2:7, where Jesus has just gone into the temple and he's taken his whip and he's beaten out all of those merchants who only were in the temple to make money. It was like a fast food convenience store. That's literally what it was. It was like having McDonald's in the temple so they could have fast food offerings. Just run over, grab your offering. It's convenient. Have it right there. But they were desecrating what God said was holy. And so Jesus drove them out, and his disciples remembered that it is written, zeal for your house will consume me. It's very closely related to that word zestos that we just saw. It's zelos. And it just means a burning, hot, on fire desire to preserve and to pursue the name of God. Zeal for your house will consume me. So, back in Jeremiah, it says that we would search, seek Him and find Him when we search with all our hearts. So the search is on. But then this brings me to my next question. My first question was, how much do I really want God? But then it brings me to the next question. So I start seeking God, but then I don't always feel anything. So my next question to myself was, am I willing to seek God even when I feel nothing? Have you had that experience? I'm going to really get on my face and seek God. And you get down and you pray. And you know, you hope that the heavens are going to open. Oh, and there you are. And sometimes you feel nothing. Do you remember that we just said that zeal for God has to do with diligence? It has to do with persistence. It has to do with getting in His presence and not giving up. That word diligence, careful and persistent work or effort. Remember Romans 12:11 that we just looked at. Do not let your zeal subside. That spude. Don't let it subside. Especially in Pentecostal circles, you know, we emphasize the supernatural and experience in the presence of God. And I want to see the supernatural. I want to see God move in signs and wonders. I want to see the power of God come. I want people to be convicted of their sins and get saved. I want to see a mighty move of God, and we want that, but it's important for us to seek God diligently even when we don't feel anything. Why is that? Move ahead. 2 Corinthians 4:7. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Or by the things that we can see, the things that we can sense, the things that we feel. We don't walk by our feelings. We have to walk by faith. And you know, but I like to feel God moving. I like to sense His presence. I like it when it's wonderful and exciting. But it's so important that we diligently seek God even when we don't, because it pleases God, because it demonstrates our faith. That we believe God is moving, that He's doing stuff, even if we don't feel it. I got to tell you, chasing feelings is really dangerous. People have gotten in a lot of trouble throughout church history when they have chased their feelings. Why is that? Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Oh, I've found we cannot trust our emotions. Simply cannot trust them. Living for experiences is dangerous. Living in emotion when the bedrock of our faith is the Word of God, not how we feel today, not how we felt yesterday, not how we're going to feel tomorrow. What God's Word is, because Malachi 3:6, I, the Lord, do not change. Our feelings change like the sand on the beach. You know, depending on the water or the weather or the wind, everything shifts around. You know, a friend might make you happy. You might hear a message. You might hear Pastor Dave preach something and it makes you feel guilty. Or a movie could make you feel sad. But God, I, the Lord, do not change. I had a friend when she was in college. she grew up in my hometown. And she got saved. She actually attended this church for quite a while with some Houghton students. But as a young kid, she had to have a kidney transplant. And it saved her life, but she was on medication. And she went to a service where it was a powerful service. The power of God was moving in the building, and they were praying for people, and somebody was praying for her, and the presence of God was just amazing. And a lady came over to her and said, I just feel like the Lord is telling me that you can throw away your medicine. You don't need it anymore. God has healed you. And so she did. And a couple weeks later, her body rejected her kidney, and she had to go back on dialysis. We were lucky she was alive. But we felt the presence of... The heart is deceitful, folks. That's a little presumptuous. It's dangerous. Oh, do we believe in healing? Absolutely. I will pray for you. If you're sick, I will pray for you to get healed until you get healed, and I won't stop praying for you until you either get healed or you go to be with Jesus. I don't want one way or the other. I believe in that. But we've got to be careful with emotional reactions and feelings. It's dangerous. She did actually, they were very hesitant to give her another kidney. They were very, you know, you get on the list, somebody sacrifices a kidney and you get it, that's a big deal. You go off your medicine, they don't want to give you another one. And we really prayed, she prayed, and God had mercy on her. She got another kidney, and she's currently married and serving. They have a ministry in India right now. Some of you might remember her. Sherry Crystal was her name. She attended the church here for quite a while. She's now Sherry Guilford. And they have a very fruitful ministry in India. God continues to use them. But, you know, as Pentecostal Christians, we want to see God move in signs and wonders, but chasing that can be dangerous too. Some people have gotten so enamored of chasing signs and wonders, instead of chasing the Holy Ghost, they end up with the Holy Goose. Yeah, they end up chasing out something freaky. Fountain Schultz used to always say that, yeah, you don't want to have the Holy Goose, which is, means, you know, something's a little hinky. And I'm not saying that we shouldn't believe God for the supernatural, but very important that we temper that with the understanding that our emotions change, our situations change, but the bedrock of what we stand on is the Word of God. Always, always His Word. That doesn't change. Even in this day and hour, what is the sign of a true prophet? For years I heard people say the sign of a true prophet is if what they prophesy comes to pass. No! No! No, no, no. Deuteronomy 13. If a prophet, 1 through 4, if a prophet or dreamer of dreams arises among you and proclaims a sign or wonder to you, and if that sign or wonder he has spoken to you comes about, wahoo! Revival must be. But he says, let us follow other gods, which you have not known, and let us worship them. You must not listen to the words of that prophet or dreamer. For the Lord your God is testing you to find out whether you love Him, not the sign, not the wonder, but do you love Him with all your heart and with all your soul? You are to follow the Lord your God and fear Him, keep His commandments and listen to His voice. Serve Him and hold fast to Him. Do we just want God's hand, or do we really want Him? Do we just want the provision? Jesus said, you're not following me because you saw this and that and God working. You following me because you ate the loaves and the fishes. Jesus got a good belly full. Oh, dear God. Do you remember the prophet Daniel? Interesting fellow. The prophet Daniel served God during the time of the Babylonian exile. Israel and Judah had both sinned against God and had followed idols. Israel went into exile first, and Judah followed not too long afterward. God used the Assyrian army and then the Babylonian army to judge the nation, take them off, and the practice of the Babylonians was to take a people and transport them out of their land, leave a few of them back there, take most of them back and displace them from their country, and then bring a whole bunch of other people from other countries in and put them in there, and in that way dilute the sense of nationality that they had. That was how what they did to kind of destroy a nation. That's where the Samaritans tended to arise in that day. But Daniel was serving God at the time of exile, of the Babylonian exile, and Israel was carried far from their home. And we read in the prophet Daniel, he refers to it. Actually, did I put it up there? I think I did. Daniel 9, in the first year of Darius, son of Xerxes, a Mede by descent, who was made ruler over the kingdom of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood from the sacred books, according to the word of the Lord to Jeremiah the prophet, that the desolation of Jerusalem would last 70 years. In other words, they were going to live in exile away from their country for the next 70 years. That's kind of a bitter pill to take if you're in the first year of it. If it was year 69, yeah, not so bad. But year one, and Daniel continued to serve God, and he was taken far away from his home. Daniel had been faithful to his God, so had been his friends that were named Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Hananiah, Mishael, they have actual Hebrew names, Hananiah, Mishael, and something or other. I can't remember. But Daniel was removed, and they were removed from what they considered the presence of God. Jerusalem, the temple, where the Holy of Holies was, the Ark of the Covenant, the very presence of God. It was a complete removal where God said, I'm gonna put you away. You have defiled my name and you have sinned against me. And he removed them from his presence. But there in Babylon, Daniel in chapter 6, now when Daniel learned that the document had been signed, what document was that? There was some people in the land who did not like Daniel, did not like the Hebrews, and they knew that Daniel was a man of prayer. So they said, O king, sign a decree that nobody can pray to any god except to you for, I can't remember, I think it was a month or something. I can't remember how long it was now. And sign it so that anybody who violates that will be put to death, thrown to the lions. So when Daniel learned that the document had been signed, what did he do? He went to his house where the windows of his upper room opened toward Jerusalem. There he is, far from the presence of God, in a land that wasn't his, probably felt nothing, probably felt empty, felt like God had tossed them away, and yet he still opens the windows, faces Jerusalem, and he starts praying. And three times a day he got down on his knees and prayed and gave thanks to his God just as he had done before. Then these men went as a group, stinkers, they set him up. This was a total setup. And found Daniel petitioning and imploring his God. Oh, that wasn't what I wanted, sorry. And of course they take Daniel, and the law said that he had to be thrown to the lions. And God proved faithful to Daniel, shutting the mouths of the lions. I can't imagine. Can you imagine getting thrown into the lion's den, and all of a sudden he's down there, and the lions can't get their mouth open? You know, Fred, I want to eat this guy, and I can't get my mouth open. You know, it's like, just shut their mouths. I just couldn't get their mouth open. And of course then, after God rescues Daniel out, and the king, who is not happy with the people who urged him to put that law in, found out what they had done, and threw them to the lions. Of course, it said the lions attacked them and crushed all their bones. I can't imagine what that was like. But Daniel, even in the time far away, he never lost his zeal and fervor to seek the face of God, even though the presence of God, as they knew it, was far away. Never lost it. Colossians 3, 2 and 3, set your minds on things above, not on earthly things, for you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. The King James says, set your affections on things above. It's an interesting word. In the Greek, it's phroneo, and it's really difficult to translate into English because it combines the visceral and the cognitive aspects of our thinking. Visceral meaning the emotional feeling of our thinking and the cognitive, the intellectual. The emotional and intellectual, it's a combination of both. That's why the King James calls it your affections, and some of the modern translations just translate it mind. It talks about, the root of that word talks about the area right here in your midriff, right in the center, where they used to talk about your heart as being the center of your emotions, where you really feel it right here. Set your mind, your affections, your heart's desire on things above, not on things of the earth. And we honor God by setting our mind and our affections on Him, even when you feel nothing, because it's a demonstration of our faith. And oftentimes God will honor that. I remember some years ago, we were at a home prayer meeting, and the Lord spoke to me that somebody there, God wanted to heal their back. And so, like, I joined, well, does anybody need prayer for their back? And certainly, sure enough, somebody had a need. Lots of you might remember Mary Deer. And so we laid hands on her, and I prayed, God, touch her and heal her back. And I just hadn't. It was nothing. We prayed for her. I'm like, well, I hope God did something. I had no sense of, you know, sometimes we pray and it's like, wow, it just seems like you feel the presence of God, nothing. And we left the meeting and I just went home and I said, wow, God, why did you say that to me? 2 days later, the testimony starts coming out. The next morning she woke up and her pain was gone. And she was able to move around, but she didn't call me right away because she was afraid that it was going to get bad again. And we heard, yes, God did it. God healed her and delivered her from that. But there was no accompanying woo. But we honor God by setting our mind and our affections on Him, even when we feel nothing. Oh, I want to feel stuff. But remember Colossians 2 Corinthians 4:7, for we walk by faith, not by our sight. And if I could expand, not by our sense of feelings, how we feel, what we think. Is God able to move? We sing that song, Waymaker, even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop. So when you pray, the main thing that God's interested in, when you seek His face to be on fire and zealous to Him, is number one, be faithful to show up. Be faithful to get there. Get in His presence. Set that time aside. Be like Daniel. Be diligent. Set your face. And maybe you'll pray and you feel like, well, God, I think you heard. But it says that when you draw nigh to God, He will draw nigh to you. But I don't feel anything. Oh, then is the promise of God not real? Sometimes I judge how I'm doing with the Lord by how I feel. I don't feel anything. God, where are you? Well, where's my faith? He said, if I draw near to Him, He will draw draw near to me. And if we walk it out by faith, I think we're going to see him manifest that truth and move in the power that we want him to. But sometimes you walk it through and you don't feel it, you don't see it, it's okay. God is still at work. Believe him. Some people say, oh, I'm walking through such a dry time in my relationship with the Lord. What they're saying is, I don't feel anything. That, is that not really kind of what the sense of it is? Sometimes God puts us in those places so that we persevere and we seek him by faith, whether you feel it or not. Oh God, help us to be faithful to do that. Father, I pray in Jesus' name that you would help us to absorb the truth of your word, Lord, that we would be diligent to show up, that we would be like Daniel, that we would get on our face and be desperate for you. Oh, that we would have zeal to seek your face, Father, that wouldn't be based on some kind of emotional response, but it would be set on our determination to be diligent, to honor you, to believe you in faith, and to walk knowing that your word is true, no matter how we feel, whether it's a good day or a bad day or an okay day, that we still seek your face and that we still cry out to you, Lord, that to seek your face and on behalf of our land, that you would move. Oh God, help us, Father. And Lord, we do want to see signs. We do want to feel your presence. We do want to. But Father, even in the day that we don't, we will still seek your face because you are worthy and because you are the mighty God. You are the one. And we set our affections where our treasure is, there will our heart be also. So we put our faith, our treasure in you, and we look heavenward and we believe you, Father. Help us to set our affections on things above and to believe you and to walk it out and to be diligent, Lord, regardless of what we see or what we hear or what we feel. Help us, Father. Oh, we thank you for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. I'd like to close with a song today, if we could, before we go and eat soup. And I think this is one. Adam, it's the very last song on the list there. It's called Breathe. And if you could bring Pro Presenter back up. There it is, yeah. And if you would stand and join me in this song and make it your prayer, say, God, stir up a zeal in me that supersedes how I think, how I feel, how I act, and light that fire. Help me to be zelos, boiling hot. Oh, Jesus, help us. This is the air I breathe. This is the air I breathe. Your holy presence living in me. This is my daily. This is my daily bread. Your very word living in me. And I'm desperate for you. And I'm lost without you. This is the
air I breathe. This is the air I breathe. Your holy presence living in me. This is my daily bread. This is my daily bread. Your very word spoken to me, and I'm desperate for you, and I'm lost without you. I'm desperate for you, and I'm lost without you, oh Father. I pray that, Lord, to you would make us desperate for your presence. Lord, just like the air we breathe, just like the daily bread, Father, that we need, help us to be desperate for your presence, Lord. Oh, make us people who are seeking zealously and earnestly your face. Help us, Lord. Father, we thank you for your grace in Jesus' name. If you're here today and you need prayer, somebody will be here up in front to pray for you. If you have a physical or spiritual need in your body or your heart or your spirit, someone will be here to pray for you. Otherwise, please stay in fellowship and enjoy some soup for souls. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.